Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind. This is a place where, or a show, radio show, a conversation
a
where...
A place in your car.
A place in your car, right.
In your head.
In your head, where we lift our hearts and minds to the wisdom of the saints, the teaching of the church, the liberating power of Jesus as revealed in and through the church and the saints and the magisterium. And we love to talk about this stuff. I do. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Oh, I do too.
You sure?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
In fact, I was looking over your right shoulder at the icon at the Pantocrator of Jesus, the teacher.
Yeah.
And it was really moving me today. I mean, and that's just, that's an outpouring of prayer, you know, the drawing of the heart to see him and to know him as the beloved is such a desire of the heart. So that's what we want to talk about.
You know, it's funny about that icon that you bring it up. So that, do you remember where that's from, that specific icon?
I don't. I know it's your favorite.
It is my favorite. And then, well, I have two favorite icons, and I discovered them at two different times. This is one. The other is the Ladder of Divine Ascent, which is a reflection on St. John Climacus's work. He's one of the desert fathers in the East. And I discovered them separately and then found out they both are in St. Catherine's in Egypt.
Oh.
They're both from the same place. So someday, I mean, it's a dangerous place to go to.
I'm hearing a call for a future pilgrimage.
Well, right, but things got to calm down in the Middle East because it's a dangerous, it's right in the middle of a hot spot. So anyway, well, today we're finishing up our series on spiritual warfare and the discernment of spirits. If you heard us say we were doing it last time, I felt like I rushed a little bit and you basically agreed with me.
Yeah, I mean, in the most loving kind of way.
So we're back and we're going to just wrap it up with Q&A and maybe review the final rule a little bit more.
Okay.
And then I have some, you know, good news for you too. As we've created using these shows and some additional videos that I've done, a mini course on discernment of spirits. You can take it at the Avila Institute, of course, which is much more in depth than anything we do. But if you do, if you'd like to watch this series over again, plus some other introductory videos and teaching, you can find it at apostoliviae.org. That's apostoliviae.org. And then when you create a profile, you can find it under the courses page to take that. So you don't have to worry about missing anything. Also, spiritualdirection.com has all of the audio recordings. Apostoli has the video, which of course includes the audio. But the last rule, if you wouldn't mind being the reader extraordinaire that you are, that we ended on was rule number 14.
Okay. Rule 14, how to strengthen yourself against spiritual attack.
Yep.
Likewise, he conducts himself as a leader, intent upon conquering and robbing what he desires. For just as a captain and leader of an army in the field, pitching his camp and exploring the fortifications and defenses of a stronghold, attacks at the weakest point, in the same way, the enemy of human nature, roving about, looks in turn at all our theological, cardinal, and moral virtues, and where he finds us weakest and most in need for eternal salvation, there he attacks and attempts to take us.
Right. So it's important to understand that that the enemy is constantly watching you, and wherever you have not fortified yourself, whether through venial sin or mortal, he's going to attack. Which is why, one, we're called to get rid of all habitual, mortal, and venial sin. Mm-hmm. Meaning, habitual meaning that we take to confession, you know, the same ones over and over. Mm-hmm. But until you do that, wherever you're weakest, he's going to just keep pushing on you and getting in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to say it's even more refined there, because if you've been studying this for a while, praying, digging in, then what he's going to do is he's going to look for those areas of virtue that are the weakest.
Sure.
As well, and start to poke at those.
Yeah.
And then you'll have trials in those areas calling you to a greater perfection, calling you to strengthen those as well. So
years ago, I wrote a post also called, I can't remember, it was about people with apostolic zeal and who are really doing a lot in the church and that sort of thing. One of the things he does is he'll get you tired and worn out and attack mm-hmm. you in areas that you used to be stronger in, but because you're tired and worn out. Mm-hmm. So that was the last rule. I don't know that we covered it all that well. It's not super complicated. He watches. We have to fortify. How do we fortify? We have to know our root sin. I mean, it's mm-hmm. really important to know our root sin. I wrote a book, I don't know if I have a copy here, Navigating the Interior Life, that I do. That helps you to get a perspective on what your root sin is.
Right. That's important to know.
It uses, I'll put it up there so folks can see it on the camera. It uses the three-part division that is found in one of the epistles of St. John. So it's simpler. If you've already done that work and you want to dig deeper, there's another book by Kevin Vost called The Seven Deadly Sins. That can help you. But if you know your root sin, which means your weakest area where the enemy can attack you, mm-hmm. you can fortify that and you can really go after that. And that's how we ought to deal with sin. A lot of people struggle year after year and don't really attack it. And, you know, how do you attack it? Well, you offer up for mass, you know, you focus on that one area. You make it part of your mass intentions. You make it part of your daily plan of love or rule of life where you do your examine against it. Mm-hmm. You go to confession as frequently as you need to regarding mm-hmm. that sin.
Yeah.
People get stuck in sin and really kind of, you know, sometimes like the misery of it all and stay in it and don't really fight. But God calls us to be free. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to be free, but you've got to fight and use all the means that he's given us.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, it's really, really hard to root sin out of your life. Let's just, you know, acknowledge right. that. It's not easy, especially if we've embraced it or let it take us down mm-hmm. for many, many years. You know, I didn't really start tackling anything until I was in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. And boy, you know, some of those things had strongholds on me, as they do with a lot of folks. So, you know, getting them purged out of my life required, you know, frequent confession, frequent, you know, reception of the Eucharist, praying diligently against it, getting a spiritual director, you know, being honest with myself, with you, you know, all those things. The other thing I would say is when you're sweeping out your house of those weaknesses, of those sins and such, you need to fill it with the opposite virtue. Don't forget that important step, because you don't want to leave that space open and vacuous. You want to make sure that when you are fighting sin, that you identify the opposite virtue and you're practicing that virtue, because that in and of itself is also going to strengthen you against that sin.
That's exactly right.
You know, so we want to make sure we do that.
Good. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. Now we're going to move into a bit of Q&A about discernment of spirits and other matters. What have you got there on the top?
Okay, this question comes from Renee. Why don't you talk about or teach the second rules of discernment?
I've actually done that. So 99.9% of Catholics are in the purgative way. If you think about the three ways of the interior life are purgative, illuminative, and unitive. The three phases is a better way mm-hmm. of saying it. 99% are in the purgative way. The first 14 rules apply to the purgative way and beyond.
Forever.
Right, but they're very powerful in the purgative way. Right. The second set of rules, they're 1 through 8, are very powerful too. But I tried to teach this once at the Avila Institute. But what happens is you have students who will come in who haven't been practicing the first rules. And it becomes really confusing. And I think St. Ignatius also commented on this. This is for people who are well into, you know, been going from good to better for some time. And it just is confusing because it's a set of rules that you can only understand if you've practiced the first for a while, at least a year.
Yeah.
Every day, examine constant and have
mental prayer,
daily mental
frequent
yes.
sacraments.
Yeah.
You have to be deep within the sacraments in the church and prayer,
right,
in order to even comprehend them.
Now they're very powerful and they're really important for someone in the late purgative illuminative way and beyond, mm-hmm. because they deal with a different way that the enemy begins to deceive the person. Mm-hmm. Because at that stage you're no longer sin and mortal sin and that sort of thing doesn't interest you and the enemy can't tempt you that way. When you get into the illuminative way, then the enemy's going to tempt you with false, more of the false consolations, more of the temptation to more good. And the subtlety of the discernment is really significant and there's just no way to get it. So I just determined that I'm not going to ever teach it in a public setting again. I will probably teach it in Apostoli Vitae where I know I have a group of people that have been practicing the first rules for some time and have all of the foundations for discernment we call in the book that you described.
Yeah.
That have been in place for some time.
Yeah. And I think if somebody's been doing all the aforementioned practices plus been in spiritual direction for some time, then studying that privately with your spiritual director or studying it on your own and then discussing it with your spiritual director in a private way, I think would be very powerful. But again, it has to be after much prayer and much discernment.
Awesome. Okay. What's the next question?
Okay, this is from Maria. I have recently attended your Into the Deep retreat and it was life-changing for me. Wow, what a great plug.
Yeah.
I have set up a prayer area now in my home, and I love it. My question is, do you also give retreats on your Discernment of Spirits book?
Yeah, we do. A similar format as the Into the Deep. It's a half-day, three-quarter-day retreat where we go through the rules of discernment and really help you understand in a very powerful way how to implement them and mm-hmm. really how to come to a place of peace, which is right. what God calls us to. We're coming to a break, but you can find that out at spiritualdirection.com/events. And there's a host an event button there that you can push and request an event in your area.
And request it for that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey friends, this is Dan Burke. If you are blessed by the work of Divine Intimacy Radio, if we've helped you with your spiritual life through spiritualdirection.com, or if you want to join in and change the world through the Avila Institute High Calling Program, where we're now forming men in more than five dioceses around the country to enter into seminary to be holy priests, please consider helping us out with a monthly donation. Go to avila-institute.org, click on the donate button, and give us a hand if you would.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke back with you on Divine Intimacy Radio. Is that what we're doing, Divine Intimacy?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah. I love the name of our podcast, by the way.
We didn't name it, though. No. I mean, we used the name, but do you remember where it comes from?
Does it come from the book?
It does.
Yeah.
It comes from the best daily, and I even have it within reach now, the best daily meditation book that covers spiritual theology. Mm-hmm. Was written by Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. He used to be the head of the Theresianum in Rome, which is in many ways the inspiration for the Avila Institute. Mm. And he wrote Divine Intimacy, and that's what we named the show after.
Right. And we're going to be starting some retreats
right.
called Divine Intimacy in Marriage.
That's retreats. Right.
So Well, more info coming soon, but we're going to have one actually locally in August.
At Casa Maria
Retreat.
Right, yeah. Retreat Center. We're pretty excited about that.
We are. I think it's going to be awesome.
Good. What other questions do we have?
Okay, this next question is from John, and he says, Father Gallagher writes about how spiritual desolation claims power over the past and the future when he discusses Rule 5 in the Discernment of Spirits. Would you discuss that and how it affects the soul and its progress in prayer?
It's a really good question, and John, I know John, and he's a great student of all of this. So I may not get exactly what he's looking for, but we talk about this a lot in the course that I teach at the Avila Institute, not so much in the book, although it's a little bit in there. But basically, the enemy is always attempting to get us out of the present moment.
That's right.
Always attempting to get us into the future with anxiety about what's going to happen and fear, or into the past with respect to regret and those sorts of things. And it's a telltale sign when you become more awake and you're practicing the examine and you know, and Stephanie and I even do this for ourselves when we hear each other doing this. And she might hear me expressing some anxiety or difficulty.
Or speculation.
And she would say, that's, you're moving into the future. The Lord's not there. He's with us here now. And it's a great gentle reminder. But that's what the enemy does. Because the only place the Lord is for us is right here, right now, in terms of experientially, in terms of following his will right here, right now. We can't follow his will in the past. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how we'll need to follow his will in the future in specific. And it's a distraction from the moment. Mm-hmm. And I've actually found this a big, big deal in my life. I don't suffer a lot of anxiety in general. And I've overcome that, you know, through all of these kinds of disciplines. But I am a very future-oriented person, so I'm constantly thinking about what's next. I guess it helps in leadership. I've had a lot of success in leadership. But at the same time, it's not a great habit, you know. It should be go out in a very disciplined way, come back, and then you're done, and then stay in the present moment. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think, you know, for anybody out there who says, okay, how does that work with me? Mm-hmm. You start to take your thoughts captive in mm-hmm. Christ, and then you think about, where do I generally go? Do I worry about the future, or am I languishing over my past mistakes or past events in my life? And then you can kind of see a pattern, because we tend to either be future-oriented or past-oriented. You and I are both future-oriented, so we will move towards that worry if we're not careful. Those that are more past-oriented will worry about, you know, or will, you know, lament over the past a lot. So once you figure that out and you kind of think about where do my thought patterns go, then you can try to start to stay in the present moment and go, oh, no, I've gone to the future. I'm going to stay right here. The Lord's right here. Jesus, help me to stay right here with you.
And you can, you know, create your plan of love or rule of life, and you're examined where, if you really struggle with this, you can do 3 exams a day, or even 2, 1 at noon and 1 in the evening. And you'd put in your rule of life, stay out of the past or stay out of the future. Mm-hmm. And then just stop at that point in the day and say, did I or didn't I? And become more aware. You might also do some journaling as to why that's happening. This is one of the rules of St. Ignatius, where he speaks of much examination. I think it's rule number 6, mm-hmm. where you're thinking about your thinking and saying, why is this happening? One, of course, the enemy wants to distract you, but there may be some healing that God is calling you to.
Yeah, especially if you're past-oriented, if you tend to lament over the past. There's things there that probably need to, you know, get through some healing.
Yeah.
A great organization for that is JP2 Center for Healing.
Yeah, Bob Schutz.
Bob Schutz, I give a shout out to them. They're awesome.
Yeah.
So that's good for healing. You know, for the future, it's worry. And so we want to practice trust.
Right.
We want to trust the Lord that he's got our future. We don't have to worry about it. So.
And you can find Bob Schutz got a great book called Be Healed as well.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next?
Okay. Our next question comes from Valentina. I like your name.
Yeah.
My question is why certain individuals are more prone to being spiritually attacked, and why are there others who do not struggle on the same level? Thanks.
So I asked her a little bit more, and it's of course a perception. And here's the truth in it. When you first begin to dig deeper in the interior life, that's when you're mostly going to experience difficulties. So in terms of someone, let's say their foundational spiritual disciplines are rock solid. So Eucharist, regular confession, daily mental prayer, that sort of thing. As they move into that reality, they're going to be attacked to try to kept away. You know, the enemy wants to keep them away. The other thing, but if
those, To discourage them.
But, right. But if those things are not in place, then, you know, and people are giving into mortal sin, then the enemy has free reign with them. Every mortal sin is an open door to the enemy. Father Ripperger has said that one mortal sin can result in possession. Thank God it's very rare, but it's the normative end, right? Because you're saying no to God in a very big way. So that, of course, is where you can be attacked. Somebody said something that wasn't true in the comments. They said the deeper your prayer life, the more you're attacked. That's actually not true. Both St. John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila teach that the deeper you are into the interior castle or into the interior life, the less the enemy has control over you.
That's
why?
Right.
Because you have fewer and fewer attachments. So I don't know where this misperception comes from. I wasn't able to get, you know, an understanding of some reflection on deeper prayer, that sort of thing. But the bottom line is the closer you are to Jesus, the safer you are, and the less power the enemy has over you. The further you are, as you begin to move, that's when you get the most opposition and the most struggle.
Right.
And that'll stay with you until you get past habitual sin, mortal and venial sin. And then it begins to lessen because you're no longer leaving the door open for the enemy's work, and he has to shift strategies, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so be encouraged. I mean, if you're starting on that road and it seems like, you know, things are going on all the time, just keep going. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep moving in that momentum to get deeper and deeper. And you know, we always want to encourage people to strive. You know, the Lord says you strive for holiness. You get holy. So you focus on you. Don't worry about the folks around you. Run to him, go deeper in prayer, and you'll start to see those things fall off as you get rid of your venial and mortal sin.
Yeah.
If he can't tempt you to rob a bank or to murder someone, the enemy can't, then, you know, you can expect that friends, that people around you, those that don't have a strength and have a strong spiritual life, you know, the enemy can work through them to try to wreck you too.
Right.
And again, that's just encouraging you to stay grounded in Christ, to grow in holiness, to grow in trust, and to stay with the Lord in the present moment. Don't let the enemy wreck you. Yeah.
Good. So this next question is actually for you, I think.
Okay.
Michelle, I'll read it and then you can answer. Michelle said, if I wanted to teach my children a plan of love, how might I put the primary reasons for desolation in the simplest of terms? They are 7 and 10 years old.
Oh, wow. This is fascinating. Okay. Well, a couple of things that I can think of. The first I want to mention is there's a great resource for children, and it comes from Sacred Story Institute. And Father William Watson has an entire series for catechesis for children on helping them learn how to be aware of the spiritual realm, the Lord, how he's working in prayer, which will help them to grow in discernment, to grow in, oh, what are these feelings I'm feeling, right? So that would be one thing, just in a practical sense, because those are catechetical materials that you could use.
And before you move on, let's just repeat that. So it's Father William Watson, WATSON. He's a Jesuit. He's a good friend.
Sacred Story Institute.
.net. Sacredstory.net. But I know it's a .net or one of the other.
Well, if you Google Sacred Story Institute, it's going to come up. You'll be able to see it.
Right.
And then look for the children's materials there. Mm-hmm. because we did pilot that in a Catholic school that I was principal at 1 year, and we loved it. Very good. Very powerful materials. So that's one thing that you want to do, because you want to get them deeper in prayer. I would, you know, helping children express what they're feeling and using words about what they're feeling, especially if they're prone to having maybe meltdowns or anger issues or whatever, that's important, you know. So I feel angry when, you know, I feel sadness when, and helping children express what's happening inside them when that happens is going to help them to identify if they're going into desolation.
And wouldn't it be key to, I'm curious what you think, is to help them, even at a very young age, to realize it's, you know, that they can, in Jesus' name, fight against that. It's not, they don't always have to be stuck in it, or is that too hard of a concept for this age?
I think it needs to be a little simpler, but we can tell them to pray, mm-hmm. right? And to go to prayer. I don't think I would have them using the discernment of spirits commands.
Okay.
I just think that's, I think that can be too complicated.
All right.
But I would certainly say, you know, run to Sacred Institute. The most important thing that you can do for your children is teach them devotion to Our Lady.
Yeah.
To pray the rosary, to help bring them peace and goodness and prayer.
Okay. This has been great. Great questions. Thank you. Make sure you check out Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits out on spiritualdirection.com shop button, and also our events on the events page. We hope to see you at a future event, and that's it for today.
Okay. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.